We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, like saving the world one soundbite at a time. Text lines are open. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it in or call it in. Tell me what your thoughts are. There's a lot of stuff still happening on this campus. I mean, just when you think it's about over, you find out it's still going on. One of the worst ones I saw was not one that I've been seeing a lot of reporting on until this morning. I stumbled across it while I was prepping for the show. Portland State University. You ought to Google the damage that was done at Portland State University. I mean, I look at this and get this. There's no way that kids were just like being kids. This is criminal activity. I mean, they took over the Portland State University library, the PSU library. They took it over, and they just demolished it. Graffitied the entire place on the inside with spray paint. I mean, they destroyed computers. They broke windows. It was just, y'all, you look at it and think, there was like some kind of a rager going on in here. I mean, this was nuts. Yeah. Anyway, I could go on. I will say this. There's a story on Fox News. I'm doing a little mini dipper here, but there's a story on Fox News right now, foxnews.com, that I read just before I came on the air. It says the NYPD gives a chilling update on the driving force behind anti-Israel agitators. Basically, what they're saying is the NYPD has been making arrests, and the deputy commissioner said there is somebody or some organization behind this, because what they are finding more and more is evidence of a highly organized effort behind this allegedly spontaneous group of students. He said there's some organization behind this movement. The level of organization we're seeing in both of these schools and at Columbia. The deputy commissioner said officers found leaflets with all the details provided to the protesters. He said there are leaflets on how to protest, on how to commit civil disobedience. There's leaflets on what to do when you get arrested. There's leaflets on what to say to the police. He said there is somebody funding this, and there is somebody radicalizing our students. I think we kind of knew that, but it's amazing to hear the NYPD actually say that in a press conference, that as they begin to clean up, and I mean, listen, on one of the campuses, I think it was UCLA, the cleanup is with a dozer. I mean, it's taking a dozer and a backhoe to scrape away all the trash and debris. They have absolutely demolished some of these campuses. And I hope that some of them face jail time for it. What I'm concerned is going to happen is there's going to be a little slap on the wrist. Don't you ever do that again, you silly, silly children. And they'll get their participation trophy and they'll move on to the next one. We need to trace this down, figure out who did what. And they're also, by the way, finding, let's see, which campus was it? There was one on, I think, on Columbia. They were finding Columbia University. They're finding signs that say things like "Long live the Intifada," and "Death to America" and "Death to Israel," and this is all in the so-called just supporting Palestine. All we're trying to do is call for peace. Apparently, you weren't. Apparently, you were willing to tear things up. And whoever got in there and helped radicalize you, or because you were already radicalized when you started, the bottom line is they had no good motives in any of this. There was nothing misguided. There was nothing, just the exuberance of youth. Nothing. It was pure radical activism, criminal activity. Tracy from Athens has texted in and said, "Awesome monologue, Senator. I haven't heard clutching my pearls since my granny." Well, there you have it. I'm proud to be in good company with your granny. Allie from Athens says, "What we're seeing on campuses are the types of things in which I used to participate more than half a century ago. Same song, second verse, and I can and am thankful forever that I was delivered from those kind of shenanigans." Good word, Williams. Thank you, my friend. John from Huntsville says, "Phil, nice monologue. Just want to say that I can't wait for Adventures in Woke World and another batch of home fries. Also just want to say that maybe one day you could have a dipper about what's going on in Great Britain titled Fish and Chips." Why would I do a fish and chips segment? I don't understand. If there's things happening. By the way, I will say this. When they went through the Brexit, see, now he's got me chasing a rabbit. Mm-hmm. When they went through the Brexit vote and, you know, the European Union thought, well, the Great Britain's never going to wind up exiting. The British people won't leave the European Union. And they did. one of my favorite speeches ever. And I challenge you to look it up. Let's look up Nigel Farage, speech at the EU. Nigel Farage, speech at the EU. He stood up there and the first things he said was, 10 years ago, I told you that this day would come and you laughed at me. Well, you're not laughing now, are you? And he went on and wore them out, saying things like, I know that most of you have never held a proper job in your life, but let me explain things. And it was just, it's my favorite, one of my favorite speeches. Mike from Harvest says, Phil, you know there will be no consequences for them. I hope that's not true, Mike. I'd hope that some of them get slapped down hard. That's why they wore their masks, right? Jeff from Indiana, hey, Phil, why isn't some of these judges making the kids that tore up these places clean them up through community service and paying restitution? It's a great question, man. I don't know. Maybe because they don't want them back on that campus anymore. I say go ahead and, you know, chain them all together and have them, you know, walk the police line and do the thing. You're right. Clean it up, I say. Although Elon Musk this morning said that he thinks that anybody who raises the flag of a foreign nation on our soil after taking down the American flag needs to be given a free trip to whatever country's flag they just ran up the pole. Lewis from Trinity says these radical organizers and leaders, they came across the southern border. Maybe some of them. Some of them are professionals who've been here for a long time, and that's all they do is go from one riot to the next. Andrew from Athens says, they have initiated death to common sense. I agree. Last one, Mike from Harvest says, the Dems need them as troops for the coming street battles. Good Lord. All right, here we go. Taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Listen, we're gonna get into a whole bunch of stuff today. I'm looking forward to some of it just like being a hoot. And some of it's kind of serious. But one of the things that I like to say on this show all the time, y'all, and I'm not kidding when I say it, is that what happens around you in your own community, in your own state, sometimes has more of an impact on your life than anything that can come out of D.C. I gathered that there was important things that came out of Montgomery, but when I got elected and I went down there and I saw the depth of it, like I thought I was a well-read constituent until I got to Montgomery and realized, holy crap, apparently I didn't know half of it. I became just entrenched in the notion that what happens in your state sometimes is more important than what happens in other places because it's the thing that determines how your schools are. It's the thing that determines the level of tax you're going to pay on your businesses. It's the thing that determines your level of income tax. It's the thing that determines how much you pay at the pump. It's all of it. And it's, I mean, and I'm not even scratching the surface. It's the thing that determines, you know, basically the tone of where you live. So that being said, I like to do this thing I call home fries, where we gather up all the stories and we lay them out there for you and we remind you of things that are happening in and around and amongst you. Yeah, we do. We like to call it a batch of home fries. Oh, yeah. Cook them up. Smell them from here. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll have Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute on to give us her read on where things are going in terms of public policy and in terms of the state legislative session. But let me just tell you some things that are going on. This is almost funny. They're going on with the gambling bill. You've heard a lot about it on this show. If you've been around the show for 5 minutes, you've heard the ads playing against the bill. You've heard me talking about it. You've heard a lot of the guests come on and talk about it. And I'll remind you guys, I have yet to truly delve into why I believe that gaming in itself is bad. I'm not a fan, right? I'm not. But I almost don't have to because whoever keeps drafting these bills down in Montgomery has yet to clue into the fact that how you put a bill together makes you a Republican as much as anything. And I don't care if the bill they've been dealing with for this legislative session was about something as benign as crayons. It's an awful piece of legislation. It could be about something as non-controversial as, I don't know, milk and apple pie. But the way they put it together was everything that the state of Alabama Republican bylaws say should not happen and still call yourself a Republican. I mean, shame on you, fellas. Shame on you for bringing this bill over and over again and pretending that it's not bad policy. Oh, and by the way, it's gaming. How about that? So it's like, I don't even, you put me in a position where I can come on the show and I can talk for a whole hour about the bill and never even talk about what the bill does because it's so badly written. And I say that as somebody who is both a lawyer and a former legislator. I know how to review the law. I know where we stand on the law. And I know, oh, by the way, how legislation comes together and the process by which you bring it into law. And, oh, by the way, this is bad. And I was also the Republican Party chairman in my county, and I was a Republican elected official, and I was on the state executive committee. So I feel like I got a little room to talk about it. If you go to the state Republican Party website and you look for their bylaws, click on the bylaws, pull them up, you will find one thing after another that the Republicans say they do or don't stand for. And yet, for some reason, that bill doesn't do them or does do them in the way they shouldn't be done. And it's a Republican supermajority. Nobody's twisting their arm. It's not like what we have in D.C. right now where the Speaker of the House has a one-vote majority and he has to have Democrats to get anything done sometimes. It's not like that at all. We have a Republican supermajority. You don't even need a single Democrat vote to get something done. And what do? They bring a bill that is allegedly going to grow government. It's allegedly going to raise taxes. It's allegedly going to be soft on crime and reward those who have been breaking the law by giving them a monopoly that they would not have had otherwise. It's going to start a brand new police force it's going to absolve people of criminal liability. It's going to allow warrantless search and seizure. I look at this bill and think, what in God's name were y'all thinking? Well, it's important that we regulate it so we can tax it. Yeah. That's where we are. That's exactly where we were. I'm gonna bet you. If I could get my fingers in the pie a little bit, I would just tell you, I could find it. But I'm gonna bet you that some of the gambling interests had their hand in writing this bill. Here, Senator, we propose some language we'd like you to look at. Really, your proposed language appears to be 72 pages long. Yes, this is the bill we'd like you to run. Anyway, you know what the funny alliances have been? The funny alliances in this, and I've said this before too. If you're out there right now and you're thinking, well, Phil, I don't want a casino, but I want to vote on a lottery. Okay, I'm not a fan, but I understand. You're not going to get it. Why? Because the people who are in the gambling halls right now, the ones who continually seem to have some measure of sway over the legislative processes, the people in the gambling halls will make sure that there is never going to be a lottery bill that doesn't have a casino attached to it. Why? Because they know that if you will vote for the lottery, that they'll get their casino at the same time. But you won't go to the polls just for a casino. So they refuse to do it. They will always have them tied together. And then what happens is people say, how come you guys won't pass a bill down there letting me vote on that lottery? I'm tired of wasting all my money in Georgia. Okay, guess what? The reality is this. It's not the legislators who continue to kill that bill. It's the gambling interests who continue to kill it. It is. The infighting and the greed and the corruption and the level to which they will stoop to anything to try and get something that gives them an edge on the market kills the bills every single time. It's almost funny. It's like you couldn't make a sitcom like this. You couldn't do a Saturday Night Live skit like this. You couldn't have a Seinfeld episode. Sorry, John. You couldn't do a Seinfeld episode like this. So here's a funny thing. I know for a fact that some of the most conservative groups down there, like the Policy Institute and Eagle Forum and others who have been fighting against this gambling bill, one of their biggest allies this year has been the Poarch Creek Indians. Why? Why? Why would that be? I thought they were casino guys. Yeah, they are. They are. They don't want competition. So why would they want seven other casinos starting up around the state? Frick, That's like saying, I got the only grocery store in town. I don't want another one opening up. I want the corner on the market, man. And so, like, here's for instance, 1819 News has a story. PCI, that's Poarch Creek Indians, are deeply concerned about lottery and gambling constitutional amendment. And by the way, I appreciate their sentiments, but I also know that part of the underlying story here is they don't want competition. It's just the truth. I mean, it's so the compact that was built into the bill, right? The idea the governor would forge a compact with the Poarch Creek Indians. PCI said in a tribal statement this past Thursday, that'd be yesterday, we, like so many others in our state, are deeply concerned that the bill being considered in the Senate will be passed and have disastrous long-term impacts on Alabamians. I agree with that. A careful reading of the bill, they say, uncovers that the good intentions of legislators to craft a gaming plan that will limit and tax gaming in our state have not been realized. Among our most serious concerns are provisions in the bill that would open the door to a mass expansion of games powered by artificial intelligence. Interesting. That mimic with frightening accuracy Las Vegas casino offerings, including poker, roulette, and other Class 3 games. Additionally, they say, the details of the bill would allow for electronic gaming that mimics pinball or skee ball or pool, games that clearly target children and have no built-in controls. Then they go on to say, we continue to support a lottery and are optimistic that our legislature will find a way to pass a clear and complete gaming bill. And I'm thinking, wow, they just came out looking like a shiny rose, man. They just came out like a shiny rose, and oh, by the way, they still have no competition. That's just funny. Now, why do I know that for a fact? Because State Senator Greg Allbritton, who I really like, Greg's a friend of mine, but State Senator Greg Allbritton, his district is the Poarch Creek Indians territory. He was the bill sponsor. He was. He was the Senate sponsor of the gambling legislation. Except that he was the deciding vote that voted no on it the other day. What? Yes, the guy who carried the bill, the guy who went to the conference committee, the guy who voted the bill out of conference committee, is the guy whose single vote destroyed the bill the other night. And it may not come back up. I don't know yet. But in his words, he said, I had to come to a decision on this because the rewriting of the bill put my constituents in a very difficult circumstance. Who were his constituents? The Poarch Band of Creek Indians. So he didn't say because they were concerned about the welfare of the state. He said that it was because there was nothing in it for the Poarch Creeks. Wow. You see, the previous bill gave the Poarch Creeks the ability to expand. It gave them an option to have a fourth location in the state, along with seven other casinos, by the way, all of which are being assigned to the lawbreakers who have been breaking our laws for years. That's a different story. The Poarch Creeks did have an option for a fourth. The new bill does not give them an option for a fourth. It confines them to the lands they currently have, period. And they don't want that. They don't want, if they can't have what they want, they don't want to have competition out there getting what it wants. And so the Poarch Creeks have assisted in shutting this thing down. And that's just funny to me. Now, where it goes yet, I don't know. A lot more to say on this. Senator Arthur Orr, he voted against the proposal back in March and again this past week. He said Wednesday the bill was way too broad, allowed too much in the form of electronic games. He said it's a shame that the entrenched gambling interests still have enough power to block a clean lottery vote, coupled with enhanced enforcement and penalties to control pop-up renegade operations around the state. So, yeah, that's exactly what Arthur Orr is saying. He's been down there a long time. He knows it's the entrenched gambling interests who are not getting their way, who have also, by the way, been breaking our laws, some of whom have back taxes owed to the state like you would not believe, like to the tune, I heard at one point, one of them, I think it was Greentrack, owed $25 million to the state of Alabama for taxes it just hadn't paid. But they're going to give them a monopoly. Makes no sense to me. All right, I'm going to take a break right now. When we come back, I'm still in home fries, but I'm going to move on to other things because something besides gambling is actually happening in the state. How about that? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Hey, by the way, don't forget, coming up top of the hour, Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute will be on the air with us. She always brings some like really solid perspectives on where things are headed and where they shouldn't head. So there's several things happening around the state that I thought were interesting. One of which is you're hearing about the United Auto Workers Union working hard to unionize Alabama manufacturing plants, right? So the unions are really you know, putting a full court press. They're determined to try and flip Alabama, which is a right to work state. By our Constitution, we are a right to work state. They're trying to flip us to a unionized state. Now, listen, I'm sitting right now in the community Gadsden that you know, lost so much because heavy unionization just basically drove the plants away. We used to have Gulf State Steel and Goodyear both here for years. This city was built on blue collar work, and they're both gone. Famous last words at the union hall for the steel plant. Hang in there, boys. They won't shut us down. Where are they now? They're gone. That was like 5,000 jobs at one point in this city, and they're gone. I do not want to see the union unionize our plants. And by the way, we have become the number one state for automotive manufacturing in the entire United States without the union help. But right now, they're working all they can. You might find this interesting, though. And by the way, if you have friends that work at Mercedes or Hyundai or Toyota Mazda, you might want to let them know. If you're sick and tired of watching these campus protesters and the anti-Israel, anti-Jew sentiments that are being broadcast and the death to America and pulling down the American flag and running the Palestinian flag up there, if you're sick of seeing all this, guess what? The United Auto Workers supports it. What? That's right. The UAW supports it. Story here on Yellowhammer News. You've got U.S. Representative Mike Rogers blasted the United Auto Workers leadership Thursday for siding with the agitators currently causing problems on college campuses. So, okay, is it political? What's happening? Is it real? No. UAW President Sean Fain released a statement criticizing the police and the leadership of some of the universities for mass arrest of anti-Israel demonstrators. Here's his quote. He says, quote, "The UAW will never support the mass arrest or intimidation of those exercising their right to protest, strike, or speak out against injustice. Our union's been calling for a ceasefire for 6 months." Oh, so the United Auto Workers is for some reason making a public proclamation about whether or not Israel should be able to fight back when they've got the thing that happened on October 7th that killed so many of their people. That's interesting. You want to vote to unionize on that? "The war is wrong," said Fain. "And this response against students and academic workers, many of them UAW members, is wrong." What's he talking about? How many students on Columbia University's campus were actually UAW members, I wonder? Who is he talking about? He says, "We call on the powers that be to release the students and employees who have been arrested, and if you can't take the outcry, stop supporting the war." That, my friends, is the head of the United Auto Workers, who was here in Alabama recently doing selfies with members of the employee base and loving the fact that they got the unionization vote in at Volkswagen in Chattanooga. And now we're sitting here looking at, I'm not hearing the story. This story needs to get out there more. The very idea that the UAW, well, I tell you, I'll read it this. Mike Rogers, Congressman Rogers from Alabama, says the UAW is standing with the crazed pro-Hamas rioters that have been wreaking havoc on college campuses. Make no mistake, both of these groups are just mouthpieces for the radical left. Neither one of them is welcome in Alabama. Wow. Let that sink in. So the UAW is out there supporting the anti-Israel protesters and calling on Israel to conduct a ceasefire after they're the ones who got attacked on October 7th. What the heck, man? That's next level knuckleheadedness. It's not government, but it's still jackassery. So give me some jackassery over there, Big Rig. I think we just have to have it. I mean, that's exactly what that is. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right, listen, I got several more things here. You might want to know this. I had somebody text me this morning and say, "Hey, is she going to?" Yes, she did. I get it. She had to. But Governor Kay Ivey did sign the bill to let Joe Biden stay on the Alabama ballot. But I still think it's funny that even though all God's children, Republican and Democrat, back in 2020 realized, oh, shoot, Alabama and other states have deadlines, and from now on, we better make sure we do our confirmations of our certifications of our elected or nominees on time. Republicans did this year. They learned. They got it done on time. Democrats who want to run the nation, be leaders of the free world, have the nuclear codes? They didn't. So we actually had to take legislative action just to protect him. God almighty, y'all. And he wants to be the president again. Anyway, the governor did sign the bill. It's okay, Joe. You can be on the ballot. All right, coming up next, Stephanie Smith, Alabama Policy Institute. We'll see what she's got to say. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on this Friday. By the way, there's this, I want to just watch it on loop over and over again, a video up on social media right now that I retweeted on my own of these kids on a college campus. I think this one was at UCLA or I don't know where it was. But anyway, they're running with their trash can shields trying to get away from the police. One of them tries to run directly at a police officer who literally just decks him to the ground. It just does my soul good. I'm sorry. I take delight in this. But the one that I tweeted, by the way, has this great over audio of it sounds a lot like the old pro football highlight reels, you know, taking the field as modern day warriors. You know, just it's great. Let me stop opining there and just go to the phones and do what we really came here for. The phones were down. We just got her on the line, though, from the Alabama Policy Institute, a conservative think tank and advocacy organization that I'm proud to have said that I've been affiliated with. Stephanie Smith, the president of API, is on the line right now. Hey, Stephanie Smith, how you doing?
Hey, good. How are you? I have watched that and laughed over and over. I don't know what... I don't know what that does about either one of us, but yeah, I've seen that one, and it just made me laugh. It almost looked like a video, like I don't know, like a video game or something. I mean, the guy was just like, "And no, sir."
I know.
I love it.
I felt like it was Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Run away! Run away! It's the holy hand grenade. But I don't know. It's just hilarious. Well, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. The waning days of the session always are frenzied, but yeah. You can see the light at the end of that tunnel, and that usually puts me in a better mood.
The state is about to be safer because the legislative session will be over.
That is always correct. So as much as I love some of those guys, and ladies. You just are always on the defensive when they're in town. And although I will give them some credit before I give them grief, they have passed now 9 of our blueprint bills.
Oh, no kidding.
So 9 of the 30, and we knew we were being overly ambitious with 30, but they have passed 9 bills that we handed them, to pass.
If you just set it at 10, you'd be looking at a 90% return on your investment at that point.
Well, we're not finished.
Okay. All right. That's true. There are 2 more legislative days left. Heck.
We're not finished. I mean, I think that we're going to hit. We'll see. And there are a few of those that we didn't want passed, right? So yeah, Medicaid expansion, gambling. There are a few of our items that we were not pushing for, we were pushing against.
Yeah, and truthfully, a lot of folks, I didn't even talk about this. I did some pretty serious opining on the issue of the gambling bill earlier in the same segment. I don't know if you heard it or not, but the fact is Medicaid expansion was actually built into the gambling bill, too. I didn't even get to that part. Well, let me ask you about this, and I don't want to spend all our time talking about the gambling bill, but where do you think it is right now? Because I'm hearing mixed signals. I'm hearing that it could come back up for another vote because some are saying that was just procedural. I'm also hearing that the Senate has done, and they don't want to play with this anymore, and they're not going to waste their last 2 days and all the oxygen that it consumes on gambling. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm being honest, I've heard both of those things, too. And so the procedural question, I think, got really squirrely that night. I think they were surprised.
Yeah.
I think that they thought they had 21, but it was by the skin of their teeth. And then there was one vote that surprised them. And there was a lot of, quick wrangling to get that off the floor before it died. I think it matters, that all three of those individuals that switched their votes from yes to no had very specific reasons why they did so, and they've made public statements to that effect. I think it's pretty difficult for a Chris Elliott, Lance Bell, or Greg Allbritton to all of a sudden decide something completely different than what they had previously decided, which creates a situation to where they have to move a traditional no, meaning they have to move someone who has voted against this for years or has publicly come out against this or even run against it. To switch from a no to a yes. And there's some serious arm twisting going on and threats, frankly, that I've heard about.
Oh, I have
too.
Pretty
distasteful.
I heard that a soy boy from the governor's office came over with a little notebook writing people's names, and I don't think it went over too well.
Yes, I have heard that as well. And sometimes you overplay your hand, and you think you're special and you're not. it's one of those situations you have to live through, which we probably both lived through that situation on a personal level. So we'll see what happens. It will come down to the wire, and frankly, I will not believe that it is over or quit fighting against gambling until Signe Dye, and then as soon as Signe Dye happens, I will start working it against it again.
That's exactly right, because you never know. They might wind up having an off-season agreement and call into special session try to get it done.
Absolutely.
So, let me ask you this. What other of your favored bills are you most excited about that have passed? I know school choice was one of them. What else did y'all see happen this session that you're like exulting over?
Yeah, and the education transparency passing with school choice is pretty big to me because, school choice is a huge, huge win, but it's not a panacea. There are still going to be, mostly kids in public schools. So protection of kids in public schools is important to us on several different levels. So there are a couple of bills that do that, transparency type bills. The state health officer reform that passed is huge, something that, I've personally been after during COVID probably.
Yep.
Open records reform is one of our issues. So lots of transparency kinds of things, the election integrity and ranked choice ballot bills, we supported both of those. The DEI in public higher ed, that is another one that we've been working on for several years. Those are the ones that have passed. The ones that we're still working on, I would really like to see that minor work authorization bill pass. Is that one? It's a bill that eliminates the ability for public schools to tell kids they're not allowed to have a job after school. I know that sounds insane, but there's actually a law on the books that says if your 14 or 15-year-old son or daughter wants to go bag groceries at Publix, you have to ask the principal's permission to sign a slip for them to apply for a job. It's insanity.
Apparently, I broke the law quite often when I was in high school and didn't even know it.
Well, apparently, high school principals are now actually in charge of all of our children, not parents. Yeah. So that's one of them that I'd like to see. We did have some internet protection of minor pass, but I'd like to see the bill that is an automatic filter pass. That's an important bill, I think. We have some mutual friends working on that bill very hard. And frankly, the arguments against that bill are pretty distasteful. I mean, they basically come down to, hey, we just really don't want to do that. we don't really care.
We just don't like
children. During the testimony, a couple of business groups literally stood up and said, we want to protect children, but not if it affects commerce. And it left me a little speechless that they were that brazenly honest. Because to me, I feel the complete opposite, which is, we don't want to unduly burden business, but there are certain things, and hardcore porn is one of them.
Yeah.
We really don't want to give just full-fettered access to things like that to young children. And if it disrupts commerce, good. Fine.
Especially
if the commerce is the porn industry.
That bill doesn't disrupt commerce if you get down to it at all anyway. I mean, if you really want your kids to have porn, parents are still going to be able to turn the filter, you know, off if they want to. But I look at it and think, this is the most low-hanging fruit, no-brainer bill that protects kids from something that we all agree kids shouldn't be. Even the people who want to do it in the background don't want people to know they're doing it in the background, so they would agree in public. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. So,
well, listen, I don't get it. Now, I'll be honest. If they stop today, if they went in, like I know the budgets are being passed, and we're having record budgets, like record, like you guys need to find some more tax reform because apparently you got way too much of our money right now.
100%.
But if they were to stop today, it would actually wind up being a very conservative session.
If they
screw it up in the last 2 days.
Maybe they should quit while they're ahead.
Exactly.
I mean, like I said, there are a few more things we'd like to see get over the finish line. Protecting minors from explicit library materials, very similar in concept to the filter bill, which is if we can protect small children from things, why are we not? And what does that say about us as a society if we don't? Allowing chaplains in public schools, that's one of the bills. That's a bipartisan bill that we're trying to get over the finish line.
Really?
We have the pair of Mark Gidley in the House and Roger Smitherman in the Senate pushing that bill.
I love Mark Gidley. I mean, he's a personal friend of mine.
I love Roger Smitherman.
Well, I love Roger Smitherman too, actually. I mean, he's a knucklehead on policy, but I actually like his company.
But it's one of those things, if those two can agree on something, it just seems like it ought to be the law.
It's like cats and dogs living together. What is happening? It's the end times. But so let me ask you though, on that bill, because I do have a copy of a Alabama Reflector, which is I get their stuff because Brian Lyman writes liberal views of the things that you and I look at, but he writes them well for his side. He talks about that very bill, and he also brings up, though, that there's a professor of religion at Auburn University that said it was a threat to Christians in the community because it could allow anybody in as a chaplain. So you feel good about this bill, though?
Oh, 100%, because there's a training situation, and it'll be handled just like chaplains in the military, that's how it's modeled.
Okay.
It's actually modeled after a Texas bill that's in effect in Texas that's working very, very well. So I don't see why that would. I mean, of course, is that a minute possibility? I mean, you know, we do have a Hindu, you know, brought in for the National Day of Prayer
on the floor
of the House of Representatives. So you never know. But, you know, to me, on balance, the number of people who will be positively affected by that, and it won't even necessarily be geared toward children. It'll be more geared toward faculty and staff who need a listening ear in a situation of conflict, just like in the military.
Well, so I'm sitting here liking a Roger Smitherman bill all of a sudden.
I know.
I don't know what's happening.
I'll give you one further, Phil. On the floor of the Senate, when he passed it, and then he said, and just so y'all know, I may come back with another bill next year to bring prayer back to school.
Roger Smitherman. By the way, remind me to tell you some great stories about Roger Smitherman, but he may wind up being my hero if that happens. Listen, my friend, we ran long. We're out of time, but I appreciate you. And I want to say, too, on the air, you guys have done an amazing job this session, and I am just so proud and honored to see the work that y'all are doing at API. I think you're back on track, absolutely. You've taken the organization under your leadership into new heights, and I appreciate it very much.
I appreciate you saying that, Phil. That means a lot coming from you.
All right. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Okay. Thanks, Phil.
That's good stuff. Alabama Policy Institute. You can find them at alabamapolicy.org, and they do a great, great, great work. They are top notch organization, and especially if you want to do a deep dive into things that are happening in Montgomery, y'all, they've got the deep dives on their website right now, alabamapolicy.org. Proud to be one of their distinguished fellows and a former staff person, Phil Williams. Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, just like, you know, making it cool to be a conservative. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, a couple more stories and then I'll get some text messages. So we'll have a short break here because I ran long with Stephanie Smith. But you might want to know this, if those of y'all who have seen some of the stuff on social media saying that money that was designated for the training center at Fort Novosel instead of Fort Rucker, has been pulled and being sent to Ukraine. U.S. Senator Katie Britt and Congressman Barry Moore have both weighed in saying they have checked on this and there is no truth to those social media rumors and that it does not appear to have any bearing in reality. So that's always good to hear. I thought you might want to know that. A lot of you green suitors out there, especially some of y'all who spent a lot of time down at Rucker or now Fort Novosel. Then there's this. Birmingham Southern College, they're closing. They're going away for good. Their long history in the Birmingham area is coming to an end. It's their own financial mismanagement. They desperately wanted a public dollars bailout for their private school screw-ups, and it wasn't going to happen. It just, you know, and I hate it because I like Birmingham Southern. It's a beautiful campus. My grandmother went there, had friends that played ball there, baseball. That being said, those of y'all in Huntsville may want to know, Alabama A&M University is moving forward on their proposal to purchase the campus and open a satellite of Alabama A&M. So A&M is Alabama's largest historically black college, and it is, of course, state-funded. And so this would be a public institution buying out a private campus. But they say they'll be able to do away with the debt. And be able to make this. They say that like 10% of their student population all comes from the Birmingham area. So yeah, I mean it may work. I don't know, but that's the way it should be. By the way, they're going to come in with a purchase offer and just see where it goes. I'll take one quick call. You know, I don't have much time at all. So I'll tell you what. Do I have time, Big Rig? How much time we got?
1 minute.
All right, we got about a minute, so let me grab that real quick. Brian from Huntsville. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Doing okay. I was raised as a sheepdog, not a coyote, a protector, not a predator.
There you go.
And I enjoyed your guest the last time. And the protection of children blocking commerce.
Yeah.
Certainly it blocks commerce. It blocks it blocks those for the people that groom kids.
Perfect point.
Child trafficking. It blocks that commerce.
Perfect point.
Go for it.
As well it should. You're right, man. Thank you, brother. Have a good weekend. All right, good timing. We're headed to a break right now. We're going to come back. I'll get some text messages, and then I'm going to kick off some adventures in woke world. Oh, yeah. You guys stay tuned. We've got some good stuff in the pike. Like, I don't know, maybe there's some craziness happening in the world. You think? Yeah, just a tad. But yeah, I love this show, and I don't think we've had a Woke World segment in quite a while. So, Big Rig, you may have to find that button. Somewhere there's a Woke World button. I don't think we played it in like 2 months. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.